This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What is good and what is bad. And a strong iman that compel him to abide by the right and refrain from the wrong. You save yourself from a lot of problems when you know what is good and bad and you follow. What to eat, what not to eat. What to say, what not to say. When you have that guided, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of peace. You're not going to say something that hurt others. You don't lie, you don't cheat. Yeah. So you have a lot of peace. True education is a social necessity. It is a must for every one of us. That's why knowledge should not be commercialized. Allahu Akbar. I think I've shared with you one incident. Yeah. A young brother like me from a Buddhist family, but not from this country or neighbor country. Yeah. Suddenly, alhamdulillah, he became Muslim. The parent have no objection. But the minute he told the parent that he's going to the Middle East to study, the parent said, no. They're worried that he's going to a place to study to how to kill another person. You'll come back, become a terrorist. You'll come back, become a suicider. Now he have difficult time to talk to the family. He called me up, he said, can I help him to talk to the family? I said, inshallah. So I went. I brought some members from that country to follow me so that they can follow up. And this is the first time the father said, a Muslim engaged with us in this manner to talk about Islam. A lot of not yet Muslim have no knowledge about Islam because we Muslim never engage with them about religion. Politically, yes. Economically, yes. Socially, yes. But nothing to do with religion. We have betrayed the teaching of Islam. We have betrayed the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's an amana, whatever we know about Islam, to share with others. We fail to do that. So busy but about dunya. Allahu Akbar. So the first thing, cut short. The parent also do not want to talk too long with me. Because he looked at me, he looked at his son, he found some similarity. Because I also have a beard, but that old man don't have beard. But I'm not that young, I'm also old. It's okay. But the son have better beard than me. Full beard. Allahu Akbar, from the face downward. My only down. Alhamdulillah. I tried to put some cream here before. It didn't work on me. Well, he have a full Allah. When I look at his face, I say, Allah really love you a lot. No, he give you more beard than me. This is the one that worried the father. So the father came up with the photos. Look at him before. Look at his passport. And look at him now. You see the changes? That's why I'm worried. And now he said he's going to the Middle East. And learn. I say, brother, I'm from Middle East. Product. You will never come across any country offer you free scholarship. And unconditional. No string tied. That means they give you full scholarship to learn what is good for you. And it's up to you to become a better person or not later on. And no contract type. Oh, you have to work with us 2 years, 4 years, nothing. Completely free. From this country today and back home free. Ticket free, everything free. And they still give you allowances. Allahu Akbar. Where can you get that kind of sponsorship? Where can you get that kind of sponsorship? Anyone who sponsors you, they will always have some contract. If not, you have to pay them back. I said to him, this man, I said, do you know your son is a chosen one? No, your son is chosen by God. If you look at his beard and you reflect back to China, I don't want to talk to him about the neighbor country. I say, go back to China. You look at all the Shaolin Sifu master, all have beard. You look at all the wise people in China, all have beard. Laozu, Confuzu, all got beard. Now, the father tried to recap again. Oh, it makes sense. I said, this is not just a beard. This is wisdom. But those who don't have beard yet, don't worry. No. But when Allah give you the beard, keep it. Be proud of your beard. There is a reason. All prophets have beards. You know, when I was engaging with the Christian missionary before in Fiji, more than 25 years ago, we were there for a mission, they were there also for the mission. Then we get to know each other when we have breakfast in a hotel. So we are talking, and then say, do you believe that Jesus is crucified? No, we don't believe that Jesus was crucified. Oh, good, then we are the same, alhamdulillah. You know. Then we said, do you think that you know that when Jesus will see me in the day of judgment, he loved me more than you? They were very upset. How can Jesus love you more than me? Yeah, because he have beard, I have beard, but you don't have beard. You don't follow his teaching. You don't love him. We love him more than you. We also follow his sunnah. They'll be upset, you know. If you are saying, no, it's different, you know, it's not necessary. Yeah, but you see, you love somebody, you follow him. You love the Prophet, you follow the Prophet. Anyhow, let's continue. True education is a social necessity, and it is for attaining success and dignity similar to those that were enjoyed by the first Muslim generation, seeking knowledge from cradle to grave, no end. The knowledge of Allah have no end. Now let us look in what happened today. Faults in current Islamic curriculum. It is indeed sad to see that education today have failed, with the above goal has largely vanished from among the Muslims. I'm not talking about the not yet Muslim. We just have to be fair to ourselves. Don't judge and blame others. You have to look into ourselves. Most of those who took its lack in clear Islamic knowledge and vision, in their heart there is a great void that they attempt to fill with numerous imported educational theories, causing a severe distortion to the Islamic identity. To the extent that we don't have our Islamic identity at school anymore. Once upon a time, things have changed, improved in our country, alhamdulillah. To the extent, sometimes when I was traveling around the school beside here, yeah, the student, the female student, they came out, and they are not yet Muslim, but they dress long dress, like the Muslim. The only thing that differ, they don't have a head cover. They don't cover their head. But now, people is trying to appreciate that this kind of dressing is more modest. Yeah, it look better on their daughter. Long dress, even the Chinese always wear chong sam, long dress, not slim sam. Yeah. Is chong sam, long dress. When I look at the girls, you know, all are Chinese girls with long dress. known as bajukurung, uniform according to the color of the school. The only difference is they don't have a head cover. Now, if you go to Brunei, all the students were dressed with a uniform, covered very modestly, decent, like Muslim. So when I was there to talk to the not yet Muslim, I was surprised. They gathered hundreds of students in one of the hall, and I was looking at them. I don't see that they are not yet Muslim in the hall. So I give salam, and then the chairperson said, "Sheikh Husaini, these are all not yet Muslim students." Huh? Not yet Muslim student, all dressed with hijab. Allahu Akbar. And it's beautiful, but they asked me a very straightforward question. And the teacher was worried I give them a wrong answer. They said, "Can we be forced to dress a dress that is not to our liking?" They're asking, can we be forced to dress this kind of dress, hijab? We are not Muslim. What do you think we should say? Can we force them? No. Forcing is forbidden. La ikrah fid din. Now they are asking us, they're saying that they feel that they are forced. But this is an issue. I was looking at the chairperson and some of these. The teacher was saying what to say. I was asking Allah, "Oh Allah, guide me." They need an answer. I want to make sure that my answer will make them have peace. Allah give me some wisdom, alhamdulillah. I said, students, when you grow up in the future, you may have a career. You may have to work. And if your workplace have a uniform that you must wear, should you follow? Of course. You want to work there. There is a uniform. You must follow the uniform. You want to be a police. The police want you to wear blue. You have to wear blue. You want to be in the custom. The custom say white. You have to be in white. You cannot say, it's up to me. I can dress any kind of clothes I want. No, no, no. It's practical. So, this is a school uniform. This is a school uniform. So because you are in the school, they have a uniform, so everybody wear their uniform. Do you understand? Oh, school uniform, school uniform. That's all. Make it easy. No, you go to other school, private school, they also have their own uniform. But these are government school. The government set a standard uniform for every student. Alhamdulillah. I'm just sharing with you what the important is. We must have our identity. Our identity is a better identity. Verily, a quick review of the available Islamic curriculum as well as the book available for children reading today expose an obvious problem. We are exposed to a lot of problems through books. There is a serious confusion in determining the right approach and material to present to the children. That's why in Islam, if those who are engaged in selling books, you have a stationery example. You are operating a business. Make sure that all the books you are selling is not contradicting with the Islamic principle. If you are selling all the nonsense books, all the fantasy, all the feng shui, all these are against Tawheed, against Allah. They got halal book and haram book. We only talk about halal and haram on food. That's all. But they also have haram book and halal book. Yeah. And this is where we fail. Many children books today revolve around magic. Harry Potter. No. When people talk about magic, now you have Spider-Man, Ultraman, so many men, you know, Superman, Superboy. So everybody think like he's a Superboy. Now you may have problem. He may fly out from the window one day. By wearing the Superman uniform, he thought that he can fly. And then you will cry. Just an example. Now what we should do, brothers and sisters, a lot of books talk about magic, superstition, deviant belief and practices, historical falsehood and slanders, offensive thoughts, and a lot of ideological belief that contradict with Islam. How are we going to make these changes? We have to work very hard, inshaAllah. Now I'm going to go in detail. I'm going to bring you to chapter 1. We're going back to chapter 1, brothers and sisters. The sixth pillar of faith. We know that there are six articles of Iman. In the first book of this series, we have finished knowing Allah. We discussed the six pillar of faith. They were mentioned in the hadith of Jibreel, known as Hadith Jibreel. When he came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him about Islam, the Prophet said, "Bunya Islam ala khams." And then he was asked about Iman. Then the Prophet said, "Iman is based on six articles." And then he was asked about Ihsan. He said one. And he was asked about the last hour. It's a long hadith. You can check in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, about Hadith Jibreel. Now you go according to the ayah of Al-Baqarah, verses 285. Allah said, "Aman ar-rasul bima unzila ilayhi rabbih wal mu'minun kullun amana billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi." Ilal akhir. That's why you consider this is the fourth article of faith or the fourth pillar. Allah comforts, and then the angels, then the books, then the prophets. Yeah. So now we are going into the fourth pillar or article of faith based on that ayah. Yeah. The Prophet was reminded by Allah, the messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu, believed in what was sent down to him from his Lord. Now this is a very important beginning. Your children one day may ask you, brother and sister, how can we know Islam is true? And how can we be sure that Muhammad is true? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now what are we going to say to them? Now your children is so innocent. Ask you a very simple question. How can we know Islam is true and God is true and all this? What are we going to say to them? What are we going to say to them as father, mommy, papa, daddy? How are we going to say that? Now first thing you must always remind your children, do you believe in God? Everything go back to La ilaha illallah. If you say yes, okay, I can believe in Him, God, okay. When you believe in God, all the question has been answered. If you say you can believe in Allah, good. You believe because Allah said so. If Allah don't say Islam is the only true religion, we cannot say that. But Allah said that in the Quran. In Ad-Din عند Allah al-Islam. The religion that Allah acknowledged and accepted is only Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ إِسْلَامْ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ Whoever choose other than Islam, Allah said, will not be accepted. That's all. Allah said about Jannah, that is where we believe in paradise. Allah said about hell, that is where we believe in hell. Allah taught about prophets, that's why we believe in the prophets. If Allah did not mention all this, you don't have to believe. That's how it goes. It's like a Chinese man came to me and said, I want to ask you one thing. And I want you to be very open to me. I love pork. I love to eat pork. Breakfast also I have one or two pieces. Lunch, four, five pieces. Dinner, it depends. But each day, every day I must eat that meat. It's like every day we must drink, every day he must. But I want to be a Muslim. What do you think? Can I be a Muslim? Can I be a Muslim and still eating that meat? What are you going to say? The normal people say, no way, man. You love pig collars. You go to Jahannam. You cannot be a Muslim. Pig is just a food. He do not commit shirk by eating pig. Eating pork, there's no shirk involved. Only nafs, because you love them. My other friend was very upset. He said, how can you want to be Muslim and you still want that kind of meat? Either Islam or the pig. Wow, you put Islam and pig in the same level now. Very dangerous sometimes. But it so happened that we Muslim majority cannot handle this. If you talk about liquor, no problem. Drug, no problem. Pig, no way. Even I never pray, I will never get close to that animal. He walk this way, I walk the other way. No. I don't even get to touch this animal. Wow. I ask him only one thing. Can you believe in Allah? Can you accept Allah? No problem. Good. Then you can be a Muslim now. No, I want to ask you about that. I will talk about that later on. Now become a Muslim first. And second thing I said, now you're Muslim, you eat, you always say Bismillah, okay? Always say Bismillah. After he became a Muslim, and a few weeks he came back, I don't know what happened, I cannot eat that meat anymore. I also don't know what happened. I said, because you believe in Allah. When you believe in Allah, when Allah wants to change you, He changed you. From liking that, now you just don't like the smell. First, you must accept Allah first. That is Allah's creation too. And today, when before I came back to this class, a question was raised to me again by our Chinese reverse. He said, you said I should go back to my family, be close to their parents. I said, of course, you must love them because they love you. Your parents always love you. Even how bad you are, they still love you. We are not smart today. We only have smartphone. We hardly call our parents with our smartphone. Mommy, how are you? Have you had breakfast, mommy? We don't do that. We destroy ourselves with all these phones. If you do that, you see how they're feeling. They may not tell you sometimes, but you give them a very good feeling because you remember them. You tell them, Mommy, I love you. Mom, I miss you. Daddy, I miss you. Now your daddy and mommy hardly hear all this beautiful word. They only call daddy, daddy, I have no money. Oh, no money, remember daddy. problem, you remember mommy. Example, Allahu Akbar. I think all our children here are good children, alhamdulillah. They always call their parents, alhamdulillah. Anyhow, she was asking me, I was going back to my family and I still have problem with them. How can I solve this problem? Because my family love to cook and they want us to eat. You know, Chinese love to eat. I said, of course, everybody love to eat. You know? And then when they gathered, I can't eat with them. Even they don't put pork inside, I still can't eat. Because I told them, no, I can't use your plate because if I want to use, I got to bring soil to the house because I have to stomach the plate. Wow, each time you want to bring soil back to the home, there's a big problem. And you will cause the drain to get stuck here and stuck there. I said, why you must go and stomach the plate? Because, you know, we are taught that because the pork has been used and then they have put pork on. I said, stomach in Islam only apply for dog, nothing to do with pig. They got shocked. Huh? But scholar did say, only Nusantara scholar. Nusantara have a very different feeling. Yeah? They say, if your plate is been touched by pork colors, you must use earth, soil to clean sama. So that's why you have problem when the Chinese vacuum their home, rent it to you, then you have to bring one lorry of earth to wash the whole room, kitchen, everything, cupboard and everything. Who call you to do that? We have that kind of ideas. But it's not the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Next time, if you want to eat and you are worried about the plate, they don't wash it properly, wash it by yourself. Just go under the water, put some soap, bismillah. Use it. Because this is what the Prophet taught us. You may disagree with me, no problem. But I need you to be honest. Show me a dalil that the Prophet talked about pig that you must sama. No, that lady was shocked. Huh? So next time, no soil anymore. Why you want to bring soil up to the house? Yeah. Unless you have dog inside. And then you have some issue. The messenger of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam believed in what was sent down to him from Allah. Now this is important. Believe in what Allah said. What is written in the book of Allah is true. And you cannot be a messenger without believing in what Allah has revealed to you. You cannot be a Muslim without believing in Allah and believing in the word of Allah. There is the connection. The believers do too. To be a believer, you must believe in the wahyu. We do read the book, alhamdulillah, the Quran, every day. But we do not know to what extent we believe in what Allah said. I personally feel a lot of us are very confused. I show you one example. In the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah is telling us about three groups of people that we are going to face in this life. You cannot escape from these three groups of people. The first, the believers. The second, the disbeliever. The third, the hypocrite. Look at the beginning of the ayah. Al-Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim Zalikal Kitabu La Raiba Fihi Hudal Lil Muttaqin Allazina Yu'minuna Bil Ghaibi Yuqimuna As-Salata Wa Mimma Razaqnahum Yunfiqun. Until the ayah, and then talk about the disbeliever and talk about the hypocrites. And Allah talk about the believer with few signs, ayah, few characters, and then the disbeliever, one or two characters, the hypocrite, long ayah. Because we are going to face a lot of hypocrisy. We have to protect ourselves from this. Ugly people. Hypocrites are people who say something and he do another thing. But we have to help each other. Sometimes we were caught into this environment because we thought that it is okay. It's not okay. Inshallah, when we try our best to come back to Allah, Allah is sure to help us. They all believe in Allah. All the believer. One of the signs of the believer is they all must believe in Allah and also believe in Allah's angel. If you believe in Allah, you don't believe angel, you cannot be a believer. And you must believe in His book. If you don't believe in His book, you cannot be a believer. Because Allah don't give you a choice. He give you a package. You want to be a believer? Allah you believe, angels you believe, His book you believe, His messengers you must believe. Why we believe? Because He said so. That's all. Now Allah is telling us again, a plus after that. Allah also mentioned five of them, now it's just four. Another ayah, Allah talk about five. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَقِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. Until the end of the ayah. Being good does not only mean that you turn your faces towards east or to west. It's not just like praying all the time you are good. No. Being good means that one believes in Allah. There are people who pray but they don't believe. They just pray for the sake of praying. They call my father want me to pray, so I pray. My mother call me to pray, I pray. But I don't believe in it. And you must believe in the last day. That's why in the early mission of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, when he was in Mecca, most of the time he was said, Man kana yu'min billah wal yawmil akhir. Man kana yu'min billah wal yawmil akhir. Man kana yu'min billah wal yawmil akhir. Whoever believe in Allah and the last day. Why? Because the last day is very, very important for the believer. Here you can be bad now. You may have the opportunity to be good at the end. You may have hard life earlier. All of us begin with some hardship here and there. But Allah gives you comfort upon comfort after you work hard. You have faith in Allah. You try your best to change. Allah gives you His rizqi, alhamdulillah. But things may change again. You may be too comfort that you go against Him again. Normally when you reach the age of 40, brothers and sisters, I believe 70% of us are 40 above. When you reach 40 years old, according to the Quran, is the last call. Second baligh. First baligh for the male, when you reach age 14, when you have a wet dreams. After that, the second baligh is when you reach age 40. It's a last call for all of us to change. Alhamdulillah, we have been changing. And may Allah make it easy for us. The last day is so important. So there was a woman today asked me a question again in the gathering. He said, and she was crying. He said, Ustaz, I want to ask you. I just became a Muslim. But my parents passed away already. How can I pray for them? Can we pray for them? I know how she missed her parents. The parent is so loving, so kind to her. And now she became Muslim, the parent passed away. So she was thinking to pray for them. I said, it so happened the Quran said, no prayer for the disbeliever. You only pray for them before they die. When they choose to die as a disbeliever, you have to stop. Because you cannot force them. They decide that. If they are alive, they will stop you from praying. Don't do this to me. I'm not in the same like you. I don't believe in that. No, there's no force. But I told her, sister, we Muslim believe Allah is just. Adil. Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا كُنَّ مُعَزِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. I will not punish anybody until the message have reached them and they deny. Maybe our parents die without knowing about Islam. My father also passed away before I became a Muslim. And I became a Muslim. It's not the Muslim come and talk to me about Islam. I have a lot of Muslim friends. But none of them talk to me about Islam. The born Muslim is to be blamed. You will be questioned by Allah. You have betrayed the messengers who conveyed the message to all of you. And he said, "Balighu anni wal aya." Convey the message of Islam to everyone. Allah is just. Allah is going to give them a fair trial. The Prophet said so. In the day of judgment, for those who do not or did not receive the message of Islam, Allah will gather them in one area and give them the last chance to decide. There is a trial for that group of people. Always have hope. Leave it to Allah. If Allah said you can't pray for them now, you can't do. But Allah is very just to all His creation. Being good means that one believe in Allah, the last. If we believe in the last day, brother and sister, you know what will happen to us. We have become a very good person. Because you are not going to cheat fellow Muslim. You are not going to slander them. You are not going to backbite about them. You are not going to humiliate them. You are not going to take their money and you don't pay back. You know why? Because if you believe in the last day, you have to wait for them to come to see you. You can lie to them here. You can cheat them. You can do anything you want here. But Allah will stop you. Even you are going to paradise, you will be stopped because of that. You have caused harm to another Muslim. Yeah. You have destroyed his dignity. You slander him. You talk bad about him when he is not that bad. You gossip about him. Now Allah will stop you from enter paradise until this man appear or that sister appear. If they forgive you, Allah allow you. If they said no, you will be there. Just outside the gate of paradise. Brother and sister, we do not want to be in that area. Allahu Akbar. Don't do bad. Don't do zalim. Don't take people's money and have no intention to pay back. If you borrow, you must have the intention, pure and sincere intention to pay back. A loan is a loan. Believe in Allah, the last day, the angels, the book of Allah, and the prophets. So in this ayah plus, the last day. Al-Baqarah earlier, the ayah earlier, was talking about just amana billah, amana rasulullah, amana, wait, yeah. Amana rasulullah bima unzila ilayhim rabbihi wal mu'minun, kulun amana billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rus, without yawmul akhir. But laysal birra with yawmul akhir. And look at this ayah again. Anyone who does not believe in every single one of these pillars, who have doubts or denied, is no more a believer. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَعْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. In Surah An-Nisa, verse 136, Allah make it very clear. A believer have no choice. It's a package. It's not for you to choose what you want to believe, what you don't want to believe. Whether you really believe, that is something that Allah said, a believer have no choice but to believe. If you want to become a believer. Anyone who does not believe in Allah, if he believe in Allah, he don't believe in his angel. If he believe in the angel, he don't believe in his books. If he believe in his book, he don't believe in his messengers. All the last day, oh, there's no last day, I think the last day is here, khalas. You die, finish. You don't believe, there's no future. Because you don't believe, there's Jannah and hell. Then you cannot go to paradise. If you don't go to paradise in the day of judgment, where are you heading? Where are you heading? You go to Jahannam. There's two places on it. Two places. You choose. Aircon, hot corn. Yeah. You want snow, you want fire, you choose. Yeah. And Allah ended this ayah by saying, any one of you who deny any one of these article of faith is truly greatly misguided. Now you have a group of Muslims who are telling you he don't believe in Akhirah. Now you have another group of Muslims who is telling you he don't believe in the prophets. He only believe in Allah. La ilaha illallah, no Muhammad Rasulullah. How can you be a Muslim? How can you declare that you are Muslim when you said La ilaha illallah, you do not want to continue Muhammad Rasulullah? And Allah has said, those who deny, who don't believe, then he is not a believer. And that's why there is a group of Shia, not all, who don't make this kalima. They even said that Ali is Allah. Allah is Ali. How can you be a Muslim? And they even claim that Angel Gabriel make mistakes. Allah want him to send the wahyu to Ali. He sent to Muhammad. So they will make mistake. Angel make mistake. So how can you have unity with people who don't believe in what you believe? No. This is just an example. Like I quote earlier. Now they are saying, not inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lil Hussein wa inna ilayhi al-Hasan raji'un. Now they are changing. They are coming out with the true color before they are doing taqiyah. You know what is taqiyah, brothers and sisters? They pretend to be like you. Oh, we are together. Oh, we are brothers. Oh, we are sisters. Alhamdulillah, we accept. We are always open. If people were sincere, but in between, they have the taqiyah. Just in front of you, to please you. But you are just a disbeliever to them. They don't consider people who follow the Quran and Sunnah as a believer. We are their enemy. And that's why they can keep on killing. Yeah. Muslim just you are not with them. And this year they make it very clear that they declare that Kaaba is not in Makkah. Where is Kaaba? In Karbala. Because they choose not to go, because you don't have to go to Makkah if you have the intention to cause problem. Makkah is a place where everybody go there for the intention to purify Allah, to glorify Allah. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك. No shirk with Allah. That's why we are there. But if they go there with another way of talbiyah, meaning they are not there for the real reason. But I was happy for a while, because they always mention my name. From Labbaik Allah, they said Labbaik Hussein. Oh, my Hussein is there. Oh, my name is over. They love me so much. I love them too. And I keep on praying, may Allah guide them back to the Quran and Sunnah. Yeah. A true believer, brothers and sisters, must believe in all of Allah's messenger. That's why we cannot become a believer if you said, I believe in Muhammad, I don't believe in Isa. You cannot be a believer. I believe in Isa, I don't believe in Musa. You cannot become a believer. Every single prophet and messenger of Allah that Allah mentioned in the Quran, you, me as a believer, must accept without a choice. If you say, no, I don't believe, then you cannot be a believer. Believing in the messengers that Allah sent to the people in the fourth pillar of belief, or the fourth article of faith, this is our subject of study in this book. And inshallah, in our next class, we call about defining a prophet. But next class, brother and sister, Sheikh Asim, our guest speaker, will be with us on Sunday, inshallah. Yeah? He will going to give us a very good talk, inshallah, that can benefit a lot of us in the dinner night, Saturday. Yeah, there is a ticket still selling outside. So for those who have purchased, alhamdulillah. And the reason we organize this kind of activities is to invite all our good brothers and sisters to participate in our activities. Yeah, so that you are involved. Whatever money that you spend for the sake of Allah is going into a good cause for our da'wah activities, to take care of the underprivileged children, the orphans, the rivers, and all the other things that we are doing, yeah, from the day Al-Qadim was established. Yeah? So many of you may not know what we have been doing. By attending this dinner, you will have a better picture about what we are doing too. So don't miss this event, brothers and sisters. Yeah. Normally we do this kind of thing twice in a year. But we do not know whether after this year we will survive under 2 years. Yeah, I make a wrong statement. It's 1 in 2 years. Yeah. So, and don't forget our camp, the revelation for the youths and for the girls, inshallah. Yeah. So, before I end the normal thing that we do, we open for Q&A. Fatafadda. Question for the sister first. The sister have raised her hand earlier. Pass the mic to the sister behind, inshallah. Press the button at the bottom.
Assalamualaikum, Sheikh.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Fellow brothers and sisters. Okay, I just like to inquire. I think I find numerously in the Quran, Allah has stated that there are certain kind of people that He seal upon their hearts, their eyes and their ears, and allow them to err, and until the day they die, they will just receive the punishment. Why is that? Why is it that there are certain people that He will never give hidayah, that He chose to do that?
It's not said Allah to not give people hidayah. It's in the knowledge of Allah that these people will not want to change. So Allah is telling us there are a group of people, even you try to explain to them, you show them all the sciences, they choose not to follow you. Allah knew their character. So Allah is telling us ahead of time. So there's nothing for us to blame except themselves. Because Allah gives us a choice. But then Allah is telling us there will be a group of people who are very stubborn. Deep in their heart, they know what you are telling them is true. It's because they are stubborn, they just do not want to change. Because of jabbar, they're very arrogant. So Allah is telling us about all this kind of character. Why? So that you don't get too upset. You've done your best. It's like all the prophet. Their duty is to convey. People accept, alhamdulillah. People do not accept, you have done your duty.
But will our dua make any difference?
Yes, because we do not know. This is right. Don't give up. Yeah, it's like my mom, I never give up on her and she makes shahada. My brother, I never give up on him. He came in many times to see me with a different belief. One day he came with a Baha'i group and say he is with Baha'i now. And at that time he become, you know, a Buddhist with a Buddhist group again. And then another time he became a Christian, he brought a Christian group and he is with them and he want to discuss with me. So each time he came and see me, he become a new person. I say, wow, you are a very open-minded person. Eh? You try everything. Yeah? You try nasi lemak, you try roti canai, you also go for tose and everything. No problem. I say, I've been there for a while. That is, but alhamdulillah, yeah, before he passed away, he came back to me after a few years, he said, I want to follow you for Jumaat prayer. I said, good, this is a good sign. But he is not yet a Muslim. But he wants to follow me for prayer. Muslim also don't want to follow me for prayer sometimes. So I said, okay, follow me. So I brought him to a mosque. I said, you don't do anything else except follow me. You don't go and tell people you are not yet Muslim. They'll throw you out later on. You know? Because our people have a wrong understanding sometimes. So I brought him. I choose to be to that corner, and so that he will be with me, the last one. So he just follow me. So after that, alhamdulillah, and I leave it to him, and we pray to Allah. I was in Maldives, last 1 year or 2 years, I forgot. I was in Maldives. He was admitted in the hospital. He called me. So I say, I'll come back, inshallah, I'll visit you. Then he say, he want to be a Muslim now. Allahu Akbar. I prepare, everything. I prepare one bag of new clothing for him. Sarong, of course, easier for him. Jubbah, yes. Kopiah, everything. The bag is still with me until now. I never take out the thing yet. Because after he's discharged from the hospital, I want to move him to another environment. I want to send him to the home of hope. He like to be active. He can be there. And I send this new clothing, new set of clothes for him. Allah loves him more than me. You know? That he did not come up from the hospital alive. And he passed away. But Allah makes so easy for him, mashallah. When he passed away, when we were there, all my siblings was there. My elder sisters, my younger sister. And they came to know that he became Muslim, they were shocked. You see, he was not a believer before. He keep on jumping from one to another. I said, I have proof that he became a Muslim now. So I have to handle his case. They said, do it. And the body was sent back here. At night, a group of Jama'ah was here early, pray. We washed his body in the hospital. at least, alhamdulillah, he died very pure, became a Muslim, and he passed away. We don't give up, we can pray for them. Yeah? But Allah is telling us that if they do not change, you can't force them. It is their choice. Yeah? So we do our best. But Allah is telling them, don't be sad because of that. It's their choice. Yeah? We have people sometimes come to me and say, people talking about Jannah, Jannah, paradise. There will be a lot of queue in paradise, full house, you know. I don't mind to go to hell. You have that kind of mentality. They want to go to hell. What can you do? So you just make dua. It's easy to say it, but you don't know what's going to happen. There will come a time we'll talk about hellfire. Yeah. Whether you're ready or not, we'll talk about that, inshallah. So may Allah guide us, sister, inshallah. What Allah is telling us is just to alert us that we have no power to change a person. Everyone have to make their own decision. La ikrah fi din, no compulsion in religion. You have done your best, nothing for you to worry. But you can keep on praying as long as they are alive. Jazakallah khair. Next question from the brothers. No question, back to the sisters. Our brother is just reminding me about a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Abu Tha'laba Al-Qushani, said that he asked the Prophet, Allahu Akbar, yeah, it's a very interesting hadith, yeah. He said annahu sa'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then what is the question? We live in the neighborhood of the people of the book, and they cook in their pots the flesh of swine and drink wine in their vessels. Yeah? Because they are so open with this, they eat everything. What's off now? Look at the saying. Yeah? The companion asked the Prophet, we live in the neighborhood of the people of the book, and they cook in their pots the flesh of swine, yeah, and drink wine in their vessels. The Prophet said, if you find any other pots, then eat in them and drink. Yeah? But if you do not find any others, wash them with water and eat and drink in them. You just wash it by yourself. That's why I said, just wash it. Don't have to look for earth, for soil, you know. People say you are crazy. Yeah. So just wash it. This is what the Prophet said, and this hadith is sahih. Yeah. So it's not my opinion, but this is the saying of the Prophet. And who call you to sum up when anything is been touched by the pig or anything haram is been used on that plate, this is opinions. Yeah? So may Allah make it easy for all of us. Any last question from the sisters? Faddal. Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Can you please enlighten me regarding seerah? Because I was a bit puzzled when yesterday I saw a TV program and the ustaz was saying that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, three wives. So the third one is, her name is Keturah and she's from Palestine. Is this true?
Wallahu alam, there is some historian who claim that he had three wives. Well, the one that is known to majority of us is two, Sarah and Hajar. Yeah? Where Ishaq and Ismail, yeah, came from these two. Yeah? But anyhow, if anybody claim that Abraham had a third wife, we are worried that they are more claim in the future, you know, that Abraham came from Cambodia, and Ibrahim came to one town in Malaysia. No, a lot of claim is coming in today, you know. But anyhow, whatever they want to say, if they have proof, we can accept. Yeah, we can, no problem to accept. It have nothing to do with aqidah. Yeah, but it's just whether that claim is true or not. But if we have doubts, then the Prophet always remind his ummah, stay away from grey areas, doubtful areas. Okay? It's important sometimes, because a lot of things is moving around and people is coming up with a lot of new things. And if there's no dalil, we just, you know, just believe what we know and don't have to say amin to something that we are not sure yet. Lastly, is it obligatory for a wife to take a loan to help her husband's business or give her husband a saving for his business? What do you think, sister? Is this a question for your sister or brother? Interesting question. Is it a must, wajib, obligatory means wajib, for a wife to take a loan to help her husband and husband business? Never once Allah said that it is the responsibility of the wife to support the husband financially. No. Is the obligatory of a wife to give moral support for the husband, respect the husband? Yeah, but not to the extent to take a loan. Yeah, not to the extent to take a loan. Car blocking. WRU 6847. So it's not an obligation, no, for the wife to take a loan. I think a good husband will not let the wife do that. Don't burden yourself. You know, if the wife have money, her own saving, it is very wise for her to help the husband, support the husband. But always remember, you must know what kind of husband that you want to support. Make sure you know what kind of business he is involved in. Yeah? If not, you are not helping him, you are destroying him. He'll take you for a ride. Normally, a good husband will not do this to the wife. He will take the loan and he have to face it. But the wife is always there to support the husband, inshallah. Now, may Allah bless us, brothers and sisters. There's almost one. So once again, please don't forget about our dinner night on this coming Saturday at Setia Alam City Center. You know, a lot of things that you will be exposed to. And then don't forget about our camp for the youths. So please don't forget us in your prayer. And don't forget to pray for your neighbors, your friends who are not yet Muslim. And try to call them to Islam. If you fail, try to bring them to us. Not to the class yet, because they will not come. Try to arrange some kind of tea with us, or you can do tea and call us to your place. While we have dim sum, we talk about Islam. Yeah? Inshallah. Yeah? Because it's easy to talk when you are eating, you know. Yeah? So alhamdulillah, don't give up in doing da'wah. This is the duty of all of us as Muslims. May Allah bless us. May Allah forgive us. And the book, for those who don't have the book yet, you can purchase it here at our home next door, inshallah. So we see you again this coming Saturday, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Sunday class is on, yes, but only I think if he is okay, this is what we plan. Sheikh Asim will also be with us.